Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Our guest on today's program is Daryl Weiselman. Daryl is a leadership, corporate culture, emotional intelligence, life planning, and work-life balance motivational speaker who consults with companies, associations, professional athletes, sports teams, and individuals all over the world. In his speeches, Daryl combines his inspiring story with practical tools that can be implemented immediately to improve the lives, careers, and companies that he touches. His new book is Heart Leader, A Personal Journey to the Heart of Business and Life. Daryl, welcome to Edgewise.
Thanks, Dave. Glad to be here.
Daryl, to begin with, what is a heart leader?
A heart leader is somebody who puts people over profits.
Hmm.
The idea in today's world, especially in the corporate world, is that the corporations have the upper hand because we're in a rough economy, and the corporations lead with, you're lucky to have a job. And I don't believe that's true. Any company worth its salt is treating their people with respect and dignity no matter what the economy is. They're treating their people more like family members than like employees. And if they do that, once the economy improves, and it will, those people and those companies are going to be the ones who are the happiest and who have the most success with long-term loyalty and without employee turnover.
I've heard from some consultants that companies that downsize assume that once the downsizing is over, once the economy turns around, people forget that they're a survivor and that their peers were laid off. But this isn't so.
True, you're absolutely that right.
That feeling of resentment can last for as long as 5 years, and that's for people who survived the layoffs.
Right. The key to this whole issue is not what you do, but how you do it.
Right.
There's no harm in right-sizing your business and letting people go and laying them off. It's a question of how you do it and what happens when things improve and you bring people back. If you've done a good job at hiring the right people, and unfortunately under financial pressure you have to lay these people off, then you need to communicate to them that they're going to be the first ones hired back when things improve. And the more open the communication, the more transparency and vulnerability shown by the leadership, the greater the loyalty will be amongst the group that stays with the company and the group that gets laid off from the company.
Exactly. They leave a better feeling among the survivors and returning managers.
Sure. Not only that, you want to prepare people. So if our business is beginning a downturn, if we're doing poorly, instead of waiting until layoff day to inform people of that, let's let them know ahead of time. This is where our company is. This is the direction we're going. This is what we're forecasting. We're going to do our best to improve revenue or sales, but ultimately we may need to lay some people off.
Ooh.
We're looking at a layoff date in 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. We may not need to do it, but we'd like you to start going out there to look for a job just in case we need to. That's a caring employer.
Exactly.
The companies that are held in contempt are the companies that come to their people and say on one day, you're being laid off, and they've had no notice. And they had no idea it was coming, and thus they have no opportunity to find another job in a rough economy.
Okay, for these individuals who choose to be heart leaders, what's the return on investment? A lot of executives tend to think of performance in terms of financial results.
If you employ people who love working with you, they're going to be loyal to you. And that's tangible because the company cuts down on recruiting costs, which can be 30% of the first year's salary or more, and it cuts down on training costs that are very high in every industry. And those costs go directly to the bottom line. Then there's the more intangible benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Vendors, clients, other employees are dealing with the same people month after month and year after year. And that says a lot about the confidence created by continuing your job within the company. And it says a lot about the culture or the essence of the company.
Yeah.
And your own effort. When you feel like the company cares, you give more effort. So there's both tangible and intangible benefits.
I think you're absolutely right. But is there anything else?
Yeah. We're living in a time where divorce is at about 40% or higher.
Right.
Now, when we're looking for an employee, we are having a couple of interviews, and then we're getting married to this employee, essentially. So if the divorce rate is 40% or greater for marriages where you're spending months and maybe years with someone before you marry them, then the divorce rate amongst employer and employee relationships must be higher than 40%. it makes the importance of keeping people loyal to your firm that much greater, so you can avoid those recruiting and training costs, which can be such a burden to the bottom line of the company.
Now, do you think that companies will be rethinking their talent management systems? Because as we come out of the recession and there are more opportunities for people to move out of their current jobs, companies are going to be suffering from this loss of talent.
I believe that's true for sure.
Uh-huh.
And that can all be mitigated by the companies treating their people with greater respect during the downturn.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People work at companies, they're miserable. And they say, why do you work there? And they say, because I don't feel like I have a choice. Well, when the economy improves and they do have a choice, they're going to leave. Talent's going to move away from that organization. So if we tell them that we appreciate them and we show them that we appreciate them, maybe those people will be more apt to stay once the economy turns a bit more.
Okay, I have a question. If there are so many proven benefits from having a heart leader, why are so many leaders hard-nosed, autocratic, bureaucratic individuals?
I believe we are all broken.
Okay.
We've all got issues, and if we were able to walk around the earth and could see people's issues, we would see even the greatest Fortune 100 leaders all have a bit of brokenness to them.
That's true, unfortunately.
Some people are much less comfortable being transparent and vulnerable than others. And that comes from potentially insecurity, some pain or anger or resentment that comes out of their childhood. There are leaders who feel these emotions and don't have the ability or the desire, and it could be one or the other or both, to lead with their heart.
So how do you address that?
These people can be turned, but if they can't be, and you're in an organization where you want a heart leader and you don't have one, look around the landscape. There are plenty of other companies to go to work for.
But as we move through the next decade and come out of this recession, do you see more heart leaders emerging?
I would love to say that heart leaders will take over the corporate world. I don't believe that's true. If anything, employees will be better educated about the type of culture that they want to work within. And as the economy improves, they'll ask more questions about culture than they have historically. Then the employees will make a better choice. So there may not be more heart leaders, but there'll be more employees looking to be in a heart leadership organization.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I also believe that social networking has a big part of it as well. With the social networking sites that are available to employees today, there's even specific groups within Facebook and certainly on LinkedIn where people can become part of groups where they comment on managers or leaders of certain organizations. So if I'm thinking about getting a job at X Corp and I'm a part of the former employees of X Corp group and I go on to this site, I may make a decision to go to work there or not based on the comments about certain people who work there that I read in that social networking forum.
Okay, say this individual discovers he's being criticized for not being the warm person he could be.
Yep.
And it's having an impact on performance within the department or organization as a whole. How can we change people's perception without coming across as
phony?
I don't want to use the word phony, but
how about the word poser?
Yeah, that's a great term.
Influencers, leaders, managers of any kind need to be trustworthy, likable, caring employers.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, our society is full of posers. The people who are really good and authentic and transparent stick out. And the people who really get it on a deep level know the posers. So if you're a leader and you're a poser, pretending to be somebody that you're not, you may get that past a lot of folks, but you're not going to get it past all the folks.
Yep.
So if, in fact, you don't care that much about people, maybe you should look at a leadership or management position where you don't have to manage that many people.
Hmm.
Usually posers don't have a real long life. And the iron-fisted ruler also has a short lifespan, generally. The fear and intimidation leadership style can work for a little while, but you're not going to have any likability or gain any trust, and you're going to have a tough time with loyalty when things in the economy improve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are there assessment tools that you can utilize that will give you a sense of how other people see you?
Absolutely. I like DISC or Myers-Briggs. There's a whole slew of different tests, mm-hmm. but you need to have buy-in on both sides. So I, as the employee, may be willing to do it. And then if I ask my potential boss in an interviewing situation, would you be willing to take a DISC test and then allow me to read it, which might give me some insight into your leadership style? They may or may not be willing to do that. The other thing that I would do if I was an employee applying for a job is ask to have the entire roster of people that report to that person and have unbridled power to call anybody on the list and ask any question I want to. Full transparency.
And what are the legal ramifications for an employee who tells somebody who calls for the truth?
Just like in any situation where someone calls for a reference, you could certainly answer the question, would you recommend working here? Would you recommend working for this boss? On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you at this company? How happy are you with the current management at this company?
Or another question might be, what is the culture of this organization?
Certainly, I would ask the leader or manager I was interviewing with to describe the culture, and then I might ask the same question of the employee. For example, if the manager said it's a warm and loving, employee-friendly culture, I would use those exact words when I spoke to the other employees in the area. And when consistently you get no, you know that you have a leader who is misleading you.
Okay, I'm just curious, how involved should these heart leaders be in employees' lives? Should they know birthdays, anniversaries?
No, but you need to be aware. For example, we had an employee named Margaret Aldrich who was an underwriter at our firm. One year there was a big flood and it created a mudslide and her house was filled 3 feet high with mud.
No kidding.
We learned about this through people in her office, and we put a double-wide trailer in front of her house. It sat there for 2 years while she rebuilt her house. So I may not be invited to Margaret's birthday party, and I may not go by and listen to Margaret's problems for 15 or 20 minutes a day, but when Margaret's in distress and she needs help, I'm going to be there.
And so you can draw a line between what is a caring attitude and what's going overboard.
Yep.
Now, certainly we're seeing the end of the recession, but there are still companies that are experiencing tough times.
Sure.
During tough times, can you still maintain this heart attitude as a leader?
Yeah, I believe you can. It's just like having trouble in any relationship. I'm married for 17 years, together with the same woman since I was 16. That's 28 years.
Wow.
In 28 years, you have a lot of ups and downs. Things are going great sometimes. Things are not going great other times. What we're going to do is communicate what's going on within the organization of our household during good and bad times. As hard as it is to face bad times together, it can also be a time of people bonding together to fight for something as a group, to say that we're going to get through this together. We may lose some folks, but we're going to persevere and we're going to succeed. We've succeeded in the past. We're not doing as well now. We're going to talk about that and how people feel about it, certainly at the top management level, and then encourage those managers to get their groups together so that everybody gets a say about how they're feeling and everybody understands what other people are feeling. And also the boss or the leader of the organization maintains a clear email communication to the entire group talking about the progress of the company on a week-to-week basis and even shows transparency and vulnerability by talking a bit about how they're feeling during these challenging times.
Right.
That really bonds a group together.
It certainly would make it easier to go into good times because you've maintained structuring that can continue for the organization and individuals.
Absolutely. Agree 100%. You can never have enough communication from the top.
Right.
Now, are there any further thoughts or comments on the message you're trying to relay? Anything you'd like to share?
The only thing I would say is if you are a heart leader and you want to continue your organization as a heart-driven company, you got to be very, very aware of who you're hiring and ensure that you get other folks on your management team or on your leadership team or on your recruiting team or your HR team to help you make key hiring decisions. The more people's valued opinions you can utilize, the more success you'll have in maintaining the culture you worked so hard to build. And if you want to retain your people, you've got to treat them more like family than like employees.
We've been talking to Darrell Weiselman, author of the new book, Heart Leader, A Personal Journey to the Heart of Business and Life. Thanks, Darrell.
Thanks, Dave.
Have you attended an AMA webcast? These free one-hour programs deliver practical insight into the latest business issues, as well as leadership and management challenges. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.